Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
From Bloomberg World, Hank Waters. I'm Charlie Pellett. Stocks are now trading higher. We've got 13 minutes to go ahead of the closing bell, and this update is brought to you by Proper Cloth, the leader in men's custom shirts. With proprietary smart size technology and top-rated customer service, ordering a custom shirt has never been easier. Visit propercloth.com to order your first custom shirt today. Stocks little change. They are higher. S&P up 3 at 2366, a gain there of 0.1%. The Dow higher now by 11 points, up 0.1% to 20,867. NASDAQ up 3 to 5841. That is a gain of 0.1%. The 10-year down 10/32nds. The yield 2.60%. Gold down 770 the ounce to 1201, a drop there of 0.6%. Crude oil slumping 1% now, down 51 cents a barrel, $49.77 on West Texas Intermediate crude. I'm Charlie Pellett. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash.
Thank you very much, Charlie Pellett. You are listening to Bloomberg Markets on Bloomberg Radio.
Can I just mention before I talked about Signet Jewelers, they're actually up 9%. I was incorrect by saying up 6%.
Well, technically, they were also up 6% and 3% more.
This is why we work together so well.
Up 6% and 50% more than that 60% rise.
This is why we get along. All right, what do you got?
It's time for the Bloomberg Advantage Bite of the Day. It's the Bloomberg Markets Bite of the Day, I said.
Yes,
the one number that tells
us
a whole lot. Okay, so here's the number. And then, since you're sitting next to me, I'm not looking at my notes, right?
So
seven of the top 25 best places to live are located where?
California.
Yes, they are.
And I'm thinking, like I said, I'm not coming home.
You kind of like that?
Honey, pack the bags.
Too easy.
Ship the stuff. I'm staying here.
So this organization did a thing on a well-being rankings. They ranked a bunch of cities across the country. But of their top 25, seven of them are in California.
Is Dana Point one of them?
Dana Point is not one of them.
There's a blue zone here, too.
A blue zone?
Yeah, it's
like
where...
for music?
No.
Like
not
flat
blues,
third?
Not like rhythm and blues, but blue zone where...
People are just sad?
There's a bunch of them around the globe, and it's just where people live longer. Japan has one. I think Costa Rica's one. Anyway.
Well, so the top two cities were not, in fact, in California. I'll tell you what those were in a second. But Santa Cruz is number three, Santa Cruz-Watsonville area, which is interesting because it's right on the coast.
Yeah.
You've got Santa Maria, Santa Barbara, also right on the coast.
Right.
And these are both kind of sleepy towns. Visalia is actually inland, interestingly. That was also in your top 25. Salinas, not too far from Santa Cruz. Santa Rosa. Another place in Petaluma, up in Sonoma County.
Yeah.
So these are places where the quality of living was good. The people felt like they had a purpose. Their financial security, they felt good. And they were physically active as well. The top two cities, however, were not in California.
Where were they?
Naples, Florida.
Uh-huh.
And Barnstableton in Massachusetts.
Really?
You been there?
No. Well, probably. I don't know.
Paul Brennan, our producer, can pronounce it for us.
Barnstable.
Come on. There it is. That's it. That's your Bloomberg Bite Advantage. Bloomberg Markets, Bite of the Day.
Nothing from New Jersey, huh?
Just saying.
So, yeah, he is feeling all right about the market. Hank Smith back with us, Chief Investment Officer at Haverford Trust. $6.5 billion in assets under management joining us on the phone from Radnor, Pennsylvania. Hank, nice to have you with us. You are feeling all right about the markets. Is that fair to say?
Absolutely, and happy anniversary or happy birthday to the markets, celebrating its eighth birthday. And interestingly,
bull market,
bull market.
We might still be in the middle innings of this bull market, and we're 8 years old.
So, to what do you attribute the length of this bull market?
Well,
because, for example, during the presidential campaign, there was a lot of criticism of the slow recovery and the worst recovery ever and the slowest recovery ever. But your bull market don't stink if you're long equities.
So ironically, one of the advantages of the so-called 2% recovery is there was never enough growth to create excesses in inflation, excesses in employment, excesses in misallocation of capital that would often lead you into the next recession. At 2%, there just wasn't enough growth to create those excesses, hence the chance for a longer recovery. Bull markets don't end because of geopolitical events or exogenous events. This one would have been done a long time ago. Bull markets cede to bear markets almost always in anticipation of a recession. And it is really hard to see a recession in the United States out over the next couple years. In fact, we're looking at a pickup in GDP growth to maybe 2.5% this year and possibly 3% in 2018. That translates into maybe we're in the middle innings of this bull market.
Well, now you sound like Donald Trump and his team. So I got to ask you.
Identical.
where does that growth come from? Because if you talk to, I talked to Peter Coy, economics editor with Bloomberg Business Week, and we constantly bring up this whole idea that in order to get more out of the economy in terms of growth, you either need to grow the workforce or you need to increase productivity. And with talk about immigration bans and bringing, you know, immigrants have helped grow the labor force, you know, and productivity. Right. We can't figure out how to make things any more productive than we are already. So where does that growth come from?
Right. So I agree with you. The immigration and potential trade restriction is a wild card on the negative side. One thing that has been missing in this expansion over the past handful of years has been business investment, and you need confidence for business investment. And the most tangible thing that has changed post-election is a spike in confidence, CEO confidence, CFO confidence, consumer confidence, and that has been so far the biggest change. Everything else has been rhetoric. So perhaps the productivity enhancement comes simply from a lack of new regulations and a rollback of some existing regulations that have been a tremendous cost on businesses over the past 6-7 years. So productivity could rise on that side.
But there is a lot, I won't argue with you that if you look at sentiment and confidence indicators, they're kind of off the charts. But again, this is harkens back to a conversation we had earlier in that the sentiment is upbeat, but still the data points, while not terrible, they're certainly not, you know, coming in, you know, surprising to the upside as much as the sentiment is. And that's different. Action different from sentiment.
Well, Carol, let's look at it from an investor standpoint, and I agree with you. It's one thing responding to a survey that you're bullish or that you right. have a high level of confidence, but look what investors are doing. They're still not piling into the equity markets. There's still positive fund flows in fixed income funds. And I would argue even with a 10-year treasury at almost 2.6%, that is still not enticing enough that you're making a statement of confidence, exuberance, excitement, euphoria by buying a 2.5% 10-year treasury. You're really making a statement, I'm willing to accept a very small return in order that I do not lose money. So I think there's tremendous potential in the next leg of this bull market to see a rotation out of bond funds into equities that would reverse a 8 or 9 year trend of just the opposite.
And you think fundamentally that that's going to be in what kind of equities? Just about 20 seconds left.
Well, look, clearly the Trump trade has favored small caps because of the domestic orientation. It's favored financials, industrials, basic material, the cyclical side of the ledger, if you will. But I don't think you can ignore the defensive side, either consumer staples, healthcare. I think you need a balance in your portfolios between offense and defense.
Great stuff. Interesting look, Hank Smith, Chief Investment Officer at Haverford Trust. Putting his money where his mouth is with expectations and an equity rise.
I'm feeling all right about the markets. All right, coming up on the other side of the break, we'll get a check on today's trading session. Of course, keep in mind investors focused on that monthly jobs report. We get that tomorrow. You're listening to Bloomberg Markets, and this is Bloomberg.